This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I was glad when it was said unto me, you are invited to the campus of the Columbia International University to join in worship and praise and share in fellowship with our president, Dr. Bill Jones, whom I esteem highly and hold in the deepest of respect. Good morning. What a wonderful and honorable privilege it is for me to share this morning's day of worship with you and to look upon such a beautiful audience of people who unashamedly and unapologetically are giving praises to our great God, Sovereign Lord. I want to thank my brother beloved, Dr. Jones, for the invitation. And the friendship that God has blessed us to have is one in which I treasure dearly. And I look forward to growing and maturing much the more in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Columbia International University means a great deal to me. I must honestly confess, it has not always been that way in the 70s and the 80s. But in recent years, the numbers from the Brooklyn Church, where I've humbly tried to serve as pastor for the past 39 years, has seen a number of our members come through this great institution of training in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we were beginning to congregate for worship, one who's with us, Crystal Evans, a student of CIU, spoke to me and I asked her, how are you enjoying CIU? She says, Pastor, I love it. Crystal, stand up. She represents the spirit and sentiment of all who've come through CIU. And one of Brooklyn's favorite preachers and a most excellent worship leader, lest you not know, Dr. Jones, is Reverend Gerald Salmon. Stand up, Reverend Gerald Salmon, for those who may not know you or know the connection we have. One of the things that gave encouragement to me and my appreciation and respect for CIU was the time of which another one who's among you, I understand he teaches here now, but he spent quite some time at the Brooklyn Church under our leadership. I want Reverend Rogers to stand. You may not have known that he spent some time with us at the Brooklyn Church. And I praise God for Brother Andre Rogers and the manner in which God is using him in the glory of his word for the coming of his kingdom. I've got a couple of things I want to try to say from the experiences I've gleaned through my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, which has now spanned over 50 years. I've been trying to preach now as a licensed preacher for 49 years. And I've gained a little wisdom from the many years of experiences that God has blessed us to have. And should you ever like to worship with us, we're located in West Columbia, Highway 378 Sunset Boulevard, worship services every Sunday, 8:15 and 11 o'clock. And we have another worship experience in the northeast section of Richland County, Brooklyn Church Northeast, worshiping each Sunday 10 a.m. in the auditorium of the Ridgeview High School. We would love for you sometime to stop by and look in on us and be a part of our worship experience. Let me share with you just now this word from the Lord. I understand I've got to watch that little clock right there, and so I'm somewhat fixated on it, but I'm an African-American Baptist preacher. And I don't know much about anything other than trying to preach and prepare God's people for the inevitable return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if I by chance just happen to violate your custom, just understand from whence I come. Is that all right? I want to try and invite your attention. All right. Now, you know, I can't handle a whole lot of amens. I like that dialogue between the pulpit and the pew. Let's look at this word briefly, if you don't mind, from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. It reads as such from the King James Version. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? I want to try to share this thought with you today. Doubting Philip. Who among us, having been around the Christian faith for any length of time, have not heard someone speak or preach on or talk about doubting Thomas? Thomas was one of the disciples of Jesus who would not accept the resurrection of Jesus without evidence. He would not believe that Jesus had risen from the grave without proof. And he made such known in John 20 and 25 when he says, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And ever since, Thomas has been known as Doubting Thomas. To doubt is to disbelieve. To doubt is to show a lack of trust, little confidence, little conviction, little certainty. To doubt suggests a need for proof. We want to see something. We're from Missouri. You have to show me. And Thomas said, Show me the print of the nails in his hands. Show me the wounds in his side. Show me the marks made across his body. Otherwise, I will not believe. And we have known him to be Doubting Thomas. But I come today under the auspice of the Holy Spirit to lift another doubting disciple. I call him Doubting Philip. Philip was a resident of Bethesda in Galilee. He had met Jesus in Bethany, where he and Andrew had gone to hear preaching of John the Baptist. And when Philip met Jesus, the Bible says in John 1 and 45 that Philip found Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. In our text, we find Philip wrestling with something with which perhaps all of us are familiar. There is an anxiety, a sense of doubt, a lack of complete assurance that characterizes all of us at some time or another on our pilgrimage in the Christian faith. All have a continual quest to escape anxiety and uncertainty. We wish we could be free of apprehensiveness. How we wish we could be free of doubt. Live with all doubt removed. But some anxiety and doubt and uncertainty will follow us most, if not all, the days of our lives. All of us make decisions, and then later on we question whether or not our decision was right. Was it the best decision? Could I have done it differently? Would my results have been the same if I had decided otherwise? So no matter what our decisions are, there is usually some wonder as to how the decision will turn out. What will be the consequences? We could perhaps approach life with absolute confidence, zero anxiety, unwavering faith, and relentless trust if we knew without a shadow of a doubt that everything would turn out in our favor and good pleasure. We need the assurance that we don't have to deal with life by ourselves.
We want to know that when we call out or cry out, that there is actually somebody who hears us. When our spirits in anguish cry out for answers, we want to know that there is somebody listening. When we are falling and reach out our hand, we want to know that there is another hand to take our hand. This is the backdrop against which the text was written. The opening verses of John 14 are perhaps the tenderest words ever spoken by Jesus. The modern English Bible puts it this way. It records, "You must not let yourselves be distressed. You must hold on to your faith in God and to your faith in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. If there were not, shall I have told you that I'm going away to prepare a place for you? It is true that I'm going away to prepare a place for you, but it is just as true that I am coming again to welcome you into my own home so that you may be where I am." I'm not sure, CIU family, if any other words have rallied more generations of people passing through dark valleys of sorrow and grief than these words. I'm not sure if any other words have been equal to these words to bind up the brokenness of our sorrow and separation when death has come to our families. Words that have given us hope about what lies beyond the veil which our physical eyes can see. However, while Jesus was speaking these tender words of comfort and hope, he was interrupted twice. Jesus said, "Whither I go and the way I go, ye know." Thomas, doubting Thomas, as we previously referred, said, "No, sir, we do not know." And Jesus, with infinite patience, said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no person cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus started speaking again, but before he could get into what he was saying to them, Philip interrupted. Jesus said, "The Father has been present because I have been here." And Philip said, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." But I looked at that passage, and there were three words that came to my spirit as I raised that question with the disciple Philip, "Show us the Father." And the first thing I want us to look at is the request. The request. Philip said, "Show us the Father." Philip's request, "Show us the Father." How we find ourselves, all of us, at some point in our lives, asking something similar. Show us the Father. In the loneliness of this life, we need somebody. We need to know if there is somebody else who helps us with our struggles. If there's somebody to whom we may look, somebody to whom we may go, somebody to whom we may turn, or do we have to deal with life and go through the challenges and accept the challenges of life, changes by ourselves? When we've done wrong and are feeling the weight of guilt on our shoulders, is there somebody to forgive us? When we are facing a dilemma, not so sure which road to take, which decision is best, which choice to choose, is there somebody to guide us? Listen, show us the Father. When our heart is broken and we are feeling alone and afraid, is there somebody who can bind our brokenness, heal our wounds, soothe our sorrows, and wipe tears away? When we climb high mountains and our way is dark and dreary, is there somebody who can help us from falling and show us the way? We are saying, in essence, what Philip said, show us the Father. When family forsakes and friends are few and finances fail, is there somebody? Show us the Father. Somebody who's good enough, for us to invest all of our confidence and our hope. Why we have carried our loved ones to the graves and we stand by their graves, which are as deep as love and as long as life. We love and we lose those whom we love. There is a question we ask, is there somebody who can give us comfort? Comfort that we have not seen in the last of those whom, in the lost of those whom we love. Show us the Father. So we do ask that. Show us him who created the heavens and the earth out of chaotic nothingness. Show us him who authors the morning and who makes the sun to move across the face of the sky. Show us him who can take away, take wrong and make it right. Show us him who can take midnight and make it into daylight. Show us him who can take winter and turn it into springtime. We ask the same question oft times that Philip asked, show us the Father. Now, such was the request of Philip. Now, let's look at the response. The first word I saw in the text was request. The second word I saw was response. Philip said, show us. And Jesus turns patiently and calls his disciple by name. He said, Philip, let us be encouraged. And knowing that the Lord does not merely love us in mass, but he loves us one by one. He does not honor us and care for us collectively alone, but he knows us one by one. Just like a good parent who has more than one child. A good parent doesn't just pray for her children as a group, but a good parent calls the names of each child to the Lord one by one. How well I remember growing up with my three brothers on Double Branch Road in West Columbia when we had our family devotion hour. And each of us as the boys was to recite a Bible verse. And then my mother and my father would begin to pray for the family. Because we believe strongly as a family that the family that prays together stays together. And so when my mother and father would pray, they would be careful not just to say bless our son, but bless Charles, bless Donald, bless Eugene, bless Floyd. One by one. And that's how God knows all of us. He knows our names. He knows where we live. He knows our addresses. He knows our email addresses. He knows our down cities and our up roundings. He understands our thoughts are far off. And there is not one whom God does not love with everlasting love. And he can hear us not only when we call, but our God can hear us before we call. In this age of numbers, where everything goes by numbers, the Lord does not deal with us by numbers. He deals with us, glory, hallelujah, one by one and name by name. Philip, Jesus responded by saying, have you been with me so long and still not know me? You can hear some disappointment in Jesus. There is some pain in his response. There is some sorrow in the heart of God where he blesses so often. And every time we come to a new crisis, there is doubt. And we deal with God sometimes as if God has never done anything for us. Every time he delivers us, we forget how he blessed us. And then when some new difficulty arises, we wonder how we're going to make it through. But the same God who blessed us before can bless us now. The same God who delivered us last year can deliver us this year. His power is no less. The same God who brought you through the experience past can bring you through the experience present. And it matters not what the experience might be in the days ahead. The same God who never changes is able to take you through that experience as well. If he has ever given us a way out when it looked like there was no way out, he can do it again.
But what doubts we bring over and over again. Jesus said to Philip, we've been together so long. This might would be all right for somebody who does not know me. I could understand your request if you had just met me. It would be all right with someone with whom I have had no dealings. But Philip, how can you doubt me when we have stood together and walked together and I've opened unto you the secrets of eternity? You've seen me at work. You've seen me when I made the angry waves and the boisterous billows of the angry sea calm down like gentle lambs. You've seen me give sight to the blind. You were there when I turned water to wine. You witnessed me take two pieces of fish and five barley loaves and made it sufficient to cater a banquet feast numbering 5,000 hungry and lusty men besides women and children. You were there in Bethany when I walked up to the grave of Lazarus, who had been buried for 4 long days, and I told death to shut up, told the grave to open up, and told Lazarus to stand up. You were there. So how then can you doubt me? How can you say, show us the Father? Let me say something to you young people and not so young people. If the Lord has ever lifted you, if the Lord has ever lifted you, should we doubt him? If the Lord has ever made a way, open a door for you, you need never doubt him. If the Lord has ever healed your sickness, you should never doubt him. If he's ever brought you out of a financial tight, not so sure how the tuition was going to be paid. If he's ever done it, we should never doubt him. That's what Jesus said in his response. How can you, Philip? I wonder if there's anybody here today who's been with the Lord long enough to say, you can't make me doubt him. Is there anybody in here who's been delivered from whatever, has come through an experience that was most challenging, who can say, you can't make me doubt him? Is there anybody living close enough to the Lord that you can testify, you can't make me doubt him? I know too much about him. Jesus said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father, because the Father and I are one. You've heard Philip's request. You've heard Jesus' response. Thirdly, what about our resolve? So I've given you three words today, request and response and resolve. In Jesus Christ, we have seen the God we need to see. In Jesus, God has come among us. In Jesus, God has put on human flesh. In Jesus, God has stepped out of eternity and put his footprints in time. And as long as we have Jesus Christ, we really don't need another. I'm concerned about this modern church era. When I hear of some saying that there is another way to God, there is another route that leads to eternal life, I'm concerned about that. Jesus Christ, I would have you to know and be reminded, is the only way. He's the only way. He is all the Savior we will ever need. He's all the deliverer we will ever need. He's all the redeemer we will ever need. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Christ Jesus is all we need. Christ Jesus is enough God to take us from earth to bright glory. He's enough to save us to the uttermost. He's enough to free us from all of our fears and doubts. He's enough to give us an inheritance with the saints of God. All I'm trying to say today, as I've shared with you out of the riches of God's glory, is that we've got somebody. Philip requested, show us the Father. Jesus responded, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Our resolve ought to be, I've got somebody. When you leave Shortest Chapel this morning, leave with that spirit, I've got somebody. When things get tough and you're not so sure how you're going to make it, I've got somebody. When your heart gets heavy because your spirit has been broken, I've got somebody. When the challenges seem to be overwhelming, I've got somebody. Going through changes that you cannot understand, I've got somebody. The mysteries of God causes questions in your mind and ponderings in your heart, I've got somebody. What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
I've got somebody. His name is Jesus Christ. God bless you and God keep you today.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.